My bulletin says Walter Roberts is the scripture reader. And I know that you can wing it, Walter, so that's why I'm calling you. Do you have a bulletin? Well, you can just read from this.
Got it. Okay, the first message today is from Jonah 3, 1 through 5 in verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Thank you, Walter. You did a beautiful job. I'm sorry for putting you on the spot. The gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, and he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets, immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. So last week we heard John's version of Jesus calling the first disciples, and now this week we hear Mark's version. And Mark's version is very simple, which fits in with Mark's storytelling style, right, which was quick and fast pace. So Jesus just walks up to some fishermen and says, "Follow me," and they all just put down their nets and follow him. That's it, end of story. There's no questions asked, no miracles are performed by Jesus to prove himself. It's just, "Follow me," and they follow. I've actually heard this story described as Jesus' first miracle because it seems sort of miraculous that it would go that simply, right? That all he has to do is speak the words and they follow. And maybe it was. Maybe it was a miracle. Or maybe these men were just curious. I mean, Mark doesn't say that they signed up for a lifetime of discipleship in that moment. It just says that they followed Jesus. They followed this man who was walking along the shore and called out to them, "Hey, come on, follow me." Maybe they just wanted to see where he was going. And there's no description of how they followed either. Did they follow Jesus with confidence or with uncertainty? With excitement or with skepticism? Did they leave their boat thinking that they'd be back in just a few minutes, or were they expecting something bigger? The story doesn't tell us. All we know is that they followed. Even though Mark's telling of this call of the first disciples is quick and simple, that doesn't mean that discipleship came easily. We know that throughout their time with Jesus, the disciples were often confused, sometimes scared. They often did not understand what Jesus was trying to teach them, and sometimes they got things just plain wrong. The story is simple, but the life of discipleship has always been a process, following Jesus through life, step by step. Not always getting it right, but just continuing to follow. That seems so appropriate. I'm sorry, but those little footsteps. Maybe those first steps that the disciples took following Jesus were a bit hesitant or even tentative, but then something that they experienced, something that they saw and heard, kept them going. A professor at Luther Seminary has a quote that I love about this very thing. She says, "For Mark, part of discipleship is following Jesus' compassion to see where it leads." Following Jesus' compassion. Because that's what comes next in the story. The disciples follow Jesus, and what they witness is Jesus healing people, Jesus freeing people from the demons that torment them, restoring them to their communities, preaching and teaching about God's love for them. That's what the disciples witnessed, what they experienced as they followed Jesus. And the result is that they kept following. They kept following Jesus' compassion to see where it would lead them. I really like that way of thinking about discipleship, as following Jesus' compassion, because our world is in such need of compassion right now. With all the division in our world, all the struggle and suffering, there is a desperate need for more compassion. We just got done putting together the annual report this past week in preparation for our annual congregational meeting. And part of that report, my least favorite part, is charts full of numbers, counting baptized members and confirmed members and comparing the numbers from previous years, which is the old way the church historically used to measure its success, its effectiveness. Is it growing? But those old ways have had people panicking for years as church numbers decline across the nation. But I read another beautiful quote this week that said, "The hallmark of a thriving church is compassion, not numbers." The hallmark of a thriving church is compassion, not numbers. Now, our numbers didn't go down this year. They went up a little. But that's not what makes Holy Cross a vibrant congregation. It's our compassion. The way we reach out to our neighbors through the food pantry, our free produce stand, the block party, the way we welcome everyone who walks through the doors, the way we care for one another, that is our success. That is how we are thriving. Our church council this past year has focused on our call as a congregation to embrace and nurture every person as a beloved child of God. Essentially, our call to share God's love and compassion through every aspect of our ministry together. We've been digging into what that means, what that looks like. And this coming year, we're going to dig deeper into how we can live that out in our community, how we can live out our discipleship together, because that is what it is to be the church. A community of disciples, of Jesus followers. Because we are all called to discipleship. Each and every one of us, we are all called to follow Jesus. Not just here in this place, but wherever we go, and in whatever we do out in the world. Each one of us is called to follow, even if it's with hesitancy or uncertainty. We're called to follow and to experience God's compassion and share that with others, to live out that compassion in our communities, in all our communities. Yes, here with our church, but also in our jobs, at our schools, in our families, out in our neighborhoods, all the places that we work and play and live. We won't always get it right, but we're called to keep trying, to keep following, knowing that the one we follow loves us completely, and trusting in God's perfect and unending compassion. Thanks be to God. Amen.